Thank you.
Praise the Lord. If you are weak, I said, praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for bringing us to this service. And we do appreciate the presence of the executive for PFN and our beloved brother, pastor, bishop, overseer, founder, Bishop Wally Oke. I will really bless the Lord for you taking time out with all your cabinet. I learned that your chief of staff is also around. The Lord bless everyone. And the Lord bless every one of you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Glorious day. Amen. Wonderful day. Amen. And the Lord will touch your life. Amen. And the Lord will turn everything around. Amen. He brought us out that might bring us in. And he's taking us this far. And we're going to make it to the final place of that eternal rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name. We glorify your name. We thank you because we're a good God, a great God, a gracious God. And we know that everything you have planned, everything you have ordained, all that you want to do, you are going to accomplish in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. You brought us out of the land of darkness. And we're going through this journey. And we're asking, Lord, your power that brought us out, your grace that brought us out, your mercy that brought us out, and all the things you have done to bring us out of what we were in the past, you'll take us through. Amen. And we'll get to that glorious land by your grace, by your strength, by your enablement, in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak to every heart now in your word, and let your word have a definite transforming power in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Already we have learned from Psalm 107, Psalm 108, and Psalm 109 at the time of searching the scriptures together this morning. We're going to go to those Psalms again. Open your Bible with me to Psalm 107. I'm reading from verse 1. It says, so give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let's go to Psalm 108, and I'm reading from verse 3. In Psalm 108, verse 3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Now we come to Psalm 109, verse 1. It tells us in Psalm 109, verse 1, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. You'll discover in those three verses we have read, in those three times, Psalms, it's talking about the praise of God. A powerful praise, a mighty praise, a prison-shaking praise. As we praise the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his people. The people we're talking about are not just people he created. They're the people he purchased. They're the people he redeemed. They're the people he brought out with the intention of bringing them in. We're talking about the people who are purchased by the blood of the Lamb. You remember the story of the children of Israel in days gone by when they were in Egypt in captivity. And they were in that kind of oppression. It's something that shows or represents or depicts our own captivity when we were in sin. But then the Lord said, I've seen the affliction of the children of Israel. And then he said, I am come. I am come. You link that with the New Testament when Jesus said, I am come. I am come to give them life and then to give you life more abundant. And God said, I have come so as to deliver the children of Israel. I'll take them out of this place, and then you worship the Lord on the mountain, and then I'll take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And so the intention of the Lord, bring them out, get them through, and get them to the land of promise. And then the psalmist remembered that the story of the children of Israel, and he knows the same God that did that for them will do that for him, and will do that for me, and will do that for you, for everyone, in Jesus' name. And so he dedicates these psalms, 107, 108 and 109, to the praise of the Lord. The topic today, the powerful praise of God's purchased people. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the power of the word in the wilderness world. As you look at the children of Israel, and then you look at what we are told in Psalm 107, that the word was mighty. He sent his word and he healed them. He sent his word and he saved them. He sent his word and he delivered them. They experienced the power of the word in the wilderness. And now as we are going through the wilderness of the world, we also experience the power of the word. It's been working, and today it will work more in your life, in Jesus' name. The word enters, salvation comes. The word enters and healing comes. The word enters and deliverance, total deliverance and freedom. In fact, the word is identified with Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that word became flesh and was manifested in our midst. And then as we receive him and the word and the truth that he brought, total deliverance will come in your life, in Jesus' name. That amen is like a Saturday amen, Sunday amen. The power of the word in the wilderness world. Number two is the purposefulness of will. The purposefulness of will. Many times you read in the Psalms, I will. It's a personal decision. It's a personal devotion. It's a personal commitment unto the Lord when he says, I will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. And then we have this, Psalm 108, emphasizing the will of the believer, the will of the worshiper, the purposefulness of will in washed worshippers. Worshippers that are washed from their sin, and worshippers that have been totally cleansed. Cleanse me, O Lord, and I shall be clean, and create in me a clean heart, O God. The psalmist had been washed, the psalmist had been cleansed, and because of that pardon and purity and the peace of God in his life, he now said, I will sing unto the Lord. And he said, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. The purposefulness of will in washed worshippers. Number three, the prophecy concerning the wonderful. Wonderful in quotes, because his name shall be called Wonderful. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and then his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy. As you come to Psalm 109, you have the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in his written word. And you remember what he said? He said, all that is written concerning me will be fulfilled. And then all that is written in the word concerning you will be fulfilled, in Jesus' name. Have you ever read the Bible and then seen the promise of God, and seen the predictions of God, and seen the declaration of God, and then the Spirit of God tells you that is written concerning you? And like Christ Christ said, you must say the same concerning me in his word will be fulfilled. And so we come to Psalm 109, and you find some verses there of prophecy, what will happen to Jesus, and then all those things were fulfilled. And I pray today the word of God where power will be fulfilled in your life in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number one. Point number one is the power of the word in the wilderness world. We're coming to Psalm 107, and I'm reading from verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for how long? And then in verse 2, it tells us, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look at verse 3 there. It says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And then he declares in verse 4, it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. And then it tells us in verse 17, it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. But then they cried unto the Lord, like when you call upon the Lord, and the answer will come. And the salvation will come. And the restoration will come. And the healing will come. And your deliverance dominion will come in Jesus' name. Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, he sent his word. And he's still sending the word. That's what the centurion said. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And when the word comes to you and penetrates into your heart and into your life, it will do a miraculous work in your life in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed them. Has God changed? I said, has God changed? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is ever the same. And he's still sending the word. And he's sending the word to you today. And when the word gets to you today, guess what? You'll be healed. Amen. You'll be delivered. And every yoke will be broken in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. As we look at this, Psalm 107, you pick out three things there. Number one, the wandering of the faithless in the wilderness. Number two, the purposefulness of will in washed worshippers. And then number one, we're looking at this wandering. We now look at three things here. Number one, the wandering of the faithless in the wilderness. The wandering of the faithless in the wilderness. Look at verse 4 there. They wandered in the wilderness, those children of Israel, because they refused to follow the perfect way of the Lord and the provided way of the Lord. Because of that, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Look at verse 14. It says in verse 14, telling us about their wandering, he poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander, and causeth them to roam about, and causeth them to do merry-go-round. They were moving, but they were not making any progress, because he poureth contempt upon them and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. In the wilderness where there is no way. Why? Why did that happen? Moses had sent the 12 spies to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And they said, when they came back, 10 of them said, we saw the land. It's a good land. And the land is flowing with milk and honey. But we cannot go there. Why? because there are giants there, and the cities are walled. They even exaggerated how walled the cities were, and then they said, we saw giants there, and we were grasshoppers in our own sight. And so the children of Israel began to cry. You know what they did? They said, let's choose a captain and return back to the land of Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell down upon their faces, and God said, all right, that's what you want to do. You will not go back to Egypt, but you will wander in the wilderness. That's why they wandered in the wilderness. And that's why the psalmist then began to pray in Psalm 119, reading from verse 10. He had seen the wandering of the children of Israel, and then he was asking God. Now he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What a prayer to pray. And what a prayer you should pray in your life. You're born again. You're out of the land of captivity. You're out of the land of darkness. And now, by the grace of God, by the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, you are born again. You are a child of God. Remember, others had had that experience before me and before you. And the prayer of the psalmist is what you should be praying with my whole heart. Have I sought thee? Let me not wander from thy commandments. In fact, the Bible says that in the last days, people are going to be wandering about, because it tells us in the prophecy of Amos chapter 8, look at verse 11 there. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come. This is prophetic. And this is for the last days. And you'll find there are many people, they are fulfilling this prophecy or wondering about. Even today, behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of God. A famine of the hearing of the word of God. The word that brings salvation. A famine of the word. The word that brings holiness and sanctification. A famine of the word. The word that brings the power of the Holy Ghost, like in the great days of the apostles. A famine of the word. The word that brings faith. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The faith, the word that brings faith in God. Absolute faith in God. There is a famine of that word. And what's the result of that? Look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, day of the last days, day of the time, near the coming of the Lord, they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's why you need to pray that prayer of the psalmist, O Lord, help me that I will not wander away from your commandments. When you seek the Lord with your whole heart. Let's come to number two there. Number two there is the weariness of the foolish in the world. The weariness of the foolish in the world. In Psalm 107, reading from verse 17, fools because of their transgression. Fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Fools because they abandon God, they forsake God, and they're looking for water in their desert. And in the weary places, dreary places where there is no help, that's where they're looking for help. And it says, because they've abandoned the source, they abandon the creator, and they abandon the only one that can help us and that can save us and bring blessings into our lives. That's why they became fools. And it says, fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. In fact, it says, look at verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and it draw near unto the gates of death. But thank God he cried unto the Lord. Whatever the situation and whatever the problem, when you cry to the Lord, even if what came upon you was because of your foolishness and because of your iniquity, yet God answers prayer. And today God will answer your prayer. Alright, God will answer my prayer. He will answer your prayer in Jesus' name. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. I'm sure you know there are some people, you invite them to come and worship the Lord with us, and you say the Lord is blessing people, and the Lord will answer your prayer. They say, no, I have so much problem, and the distress is so much, it's not the time to worship God. When everything is all right, then I will come and worship God. It's when everything is upside down, it's when you are in troubled waters, it's when that sickness or that infirmity is so much, you don't know what to do, that's the time to come and worship the Lord, and the Lord will answer your prayer. Look at this. At the time they were in trouble, at the time they were in affliction, at the time they were in distresses, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Why they were saying that trouble? And he saves them out of their distresses. Today is my day. I said, today is my day. You will do it in Jesus' name. But you know, God called them fools. Anybody there today that the Lord is calling a fool? That you are going through this distress, and you are going through all this trouble, and yet you don't know the way back to God, and God says they are fools. And there are other people in the Bible that are called fools. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, reading from verse 10. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, the Lord search the heart. I try, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Look at verse 11. It says, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and asheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end. Tell me what you find in your Bible there. Tell me out aloud. The people that, you know, run after riches, after this and after that, and they're not seeking that in the right way, and it is not the fulfillment of the promise of God in their lives. It is not by walking and doing things in the righteous way. If they get the riches at all, the Lord says, in the middle of their days, they will leave everything and at the end shall be a fool. I pray you'll not be a fool. In Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Look at verse 28, the action, the pattern of life of the fools. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. If somebody does not want to retain God in his knowledge, that's a fool. He said, the only way to redemption is repentance and faith in Christ. He says, no, I don't want that. I don't want to hear about repentance. I don't want to hear about faith in Christ, because they do not want to retain God in their knowledge. They become fools. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And if you have been a fool and you forsook your redemption and you forsook your salvation and you forsook the path of life, the Lord is calling you today. You can turn around. You can say, Lord, I've made a fool of myself. I'm sorry for what I've done. I repent now. I rejected the knowledge of God in my heart, in my life, in my actions, and in everything that I do. But now I turn around. And as I turn around, the Lord will bring conversion in your life. When he changes you from being a fool to being a wise man, and you are wise unto salvation, and you are wise unto obedience of the word of God, then all the calamities that should have come, everything will vanish away. even this morning, as you give your heart to the Lord, even this morning, as you turn around, you look at your life and you say, the fool described in the Bible, that's me. And I don't want to continue like that. And you become wise unto salvation. Wellness will come unto you. Goodness will come unto you. Look at number three there. Number three is the wellness of the forgiven through the word. The word comes to you. And then you say, I accept that word. And then he forgives your sin. He wipes all those sins away. And he makes you a new creature in Christ. Then, apart from the salvation that comes, healing will come. Deliverance will come. The goodness of the Lord will come. And the Lord will make you a real child. And then all the blessings of the children of God will be poured upon your life in Jesus' name. Number three here is the wellness of the forgiven through the word. I want you to look at verse 20 again. Psalm 107 verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them. They became well. You'll become well. Your wife, your husband, your children, your family, you'll be well in Jesus' name. He sent his word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And ye shall know the truth, that's the word, and the truth will make you free. You are well today. I am well today. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I want you to see something. Forgiveness and healing go together. He forgives and then he heals. If there is sin there, you might have a long time calling and crying. But once you confess and you forsake and the grace of God comes to your life and it wipes all the sins away, then with that forgiveness, you must be well. I will be well. I am well. And look at this in Psalm 103, and I'm reading from verse 3. And see the connection, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What follows that? Who healeth all thy diseases. On the one hand, the sins are forgiven. And then on the other hand, the healing comes. Do you remember that man that was paralyzed, impotent, and could do nothing by himself or for himself? And they brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't enter the house. And then they went to the roof and dropped him in the presence of the Lord. And the first thing Jesus said, he said, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. And while the Pharisees were wondering, how could he do that? That she may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto you, take up your bed, rise. And then he rose up, the healing came. And that's what we're told here. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm reading from verse 4. Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. Amen. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then in verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgression. It's talking about forgiveness now, redemption now, remission of sin. You have the forgiveness and salvation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Tell me the rest over there. And with his stripes we are healed. First of all, transgression dealt with, iniquity dealt with. He forgives us and gives us pardon. He gives us peace. And then after that, by his stripes, we are healed. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. In First Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Number one, he bore our sin. He provided forgiveness. He provided salvation. He provided freedom from sin. He provided a righteous life. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. After that, forgiveness. After that, freedom. After that definite work of grace in salvation, then he says, by whose stripes we were healed. Those two things come together, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Forgiveness available, healing available, those two things together, forgiveness first, and then healing, and the Lord will accomplish it in every life in Jesus' name. The wellness of the forgiven through his word. Let's come to Psalm 108 now. This leads us to point number 2, Psalm 108. And it's the purposefulness of will in washed worshippers. The purposeness of will in washed worshippers. And he's talking about the heart. Number 1, the purposeful heart of the steadfast. The one that says, I have chosen the way of righteousness, I will not depart from it. And he says, my heart is fixed, my mind is made up, and I believe in the Lord, and I trust in the Lord, and I'm going to abide in the Lord. The purposeful heart of the steadfast. Number 2, is the purified heart of the sanctified. The purified heart of the sanctified. Jesus prayed for the sanctification of the disciples, and every one of them experienced the purity of heart in sanctification. And he said, I pray not for these alone, but for all them that shall believe on me through their word. And the prayer is still efficacious today. And when we pray after we are saved and we go to the Lord, he fulfills his word, he purifies the heart, he sanctifies the heart, and then we remain more steadfast and more giving unto the Lord. Number 3 is the promising heart of the satisfied. Satisfied in Christ, satisfied in the Lord, satisfied in his provision, and satisfied with everything he has ordained for us. And will you become promising? You're a promising child of God when you are in Christ, and you abide in Christ, and you stay in Christ, and you are satisfied in Christ. Let's look at number 1. Number 1 is the purposeful heart of the steadfast. Come to Psalm 108. I'm reading from verse 1. It says, O God, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. You know, there are people that are always asking, give me, give me, give me. I'm asking, I'm knocking, I'm asking, I'm seeking. And they are forever seeking. And they never tell the Lord how purposeful they are in their heart, how committed they are in their heart, and how steadfast they are with the Lord. But the psalmist said, with a purposeful heart, with a heart that is fixed, with a heart that is made up, like he wants you to make up your heart, that your heart is fixed. Like this psalmist said, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. I pray that will happen to you. There's a time we come before the Lord, and we consecrate our hearts to the Lord, and we consecrate our lives to the Lord. There are many believers today, they come to church, all they're asking is, God, what are you going to give me today? I need this, I need this, I need this. What have you given to the Lord all these years? Your time, your talent, your treasure, and every your skill, and then your very heart, and then you are fixed and purposeful that you are going to be steadfast with the Lord. Let's understand that God wants us, as he has given all he has unto us, he wants us to give all we have to unto him. Look at Psalm 112, and I'm reading from verse 7 there. It says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He shall not be afraid of bad news. Some people, all they are looking for, they want to hear bad news to give an excuse not coming to church, to give an excuse not serving the Lord, to give an excuse not obeying the Lord. And they always have, and they always get what they're looking for. If you're looking for bad news, you'll get. If you're looking for good news, you'll get good news. I'm looking for good news. I can't hear my people. If you're looking for good news, then whatever bad news may be going on in society, it shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And then he tells us in verse 8, it says, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, he has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. His heart is so fixed, and his heart is so purposeful, his heart is so steadfast, that whatever is happening, he depends upon the Lord. He relies upon the Lord. He said, I have laid my hands on the plow. I will not look back. I will not look back. You will not look back in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 11, we're reading from verse 21. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then in verse 22, it says, and the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent for Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he got there, look at what he said in verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God. How did he see that? He saw the grace of God. He wasn't there when he was saved. But when he saw them, he saw the change of life. These are supposed to be Gentiles. But they're not talking like Gentiles. They're not living like Gentiles. They're not behaving like Gentiles. They're not running the race, the rat race, like other Gentiles. When he got there, he saw the grace of God. We can see the grace of God. A man that is transformed by grace, a man that is turned around by grace, a man whose life, a woman whose life have been totally changed by the grace of God. You may not know when he got saved. You may not know when she got saved. You can see that grace. And so, when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them that with purpose of heart, they were cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart, they were cleave unto the Lord. If you are born again, and thank God, a lot of people here are born again, that purpose of heart to be steadfast will be in you in Jesus' name. Look at number two there. Number two there is the purified heart of the sanctified. The purified heart of the sanctified. Hey, look at that again. We're looking at Psalm 108, now verse 7. In verse 7, it tells us God has spoken in his holiness. He doesn't speak to the air, he speaks to his children. He doesn't speak to generality of people, he speaks to your heart. And when God speaks, what he speaks becomes fulfilled in your life. And God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice I will devise Shechem and mete out the valley of Sukkoth. This is talking about those who are washed and those who are cleansed. And when he washes us, he sanctifies us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, Corinthians. And such were some of you, Gentiles. And such were some of you, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by choice. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified. And I pray that will be fulfilled in every life in Jesus' name. And look at Acts chapter 15, verse 9. In 1 Corinthians, in Acts chapter 15, verse 9. And he put no difference between us and them, between us apostles and them, the members, between us Jews and the Gentiles, between us who went to them and the house of Cornelius. He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. These were not people present when Christ was praying for the disciples. These were years later. They were saved, and now he purified their hearts by faith. The same thing. You didn't live in the first century. You're living in this century now. All the words of God are still yes and amen. All the promises of God are still yes and amen. And he puts no difference between us and them. Them of the first century and us in the generation today. There is no difference. Faith is still the same. There is no difference. Christ is still the same. There is no difference. The efficacy of the blood of Jesus is still the same. There is no difference. The desire of God that a child of God should be holy and pure and purified is still the same. It puts no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And as you pray to the Lord today and you believe in the Lord today, that purity will be yours. That sanctification will be yours. Look at Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at verse 8. These are the words of Jesus, and those words are still applicable today. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I pray on that final day, you are saved, you have the peace of God, you are sanctified, you have the purity of the Lord. I pray on that final day, you will not be found missing in Jesus' name. Number three here, the promising heart of the satisfied. The promising heart of the satisfied. It will satisfy you. But you must abide satisfied. You must be satisfied with what you have and be content with what you have. You have salvation, why are you not satisfied? And you have the promises of God, why are you not satisfied? You have the presence of God, why are you not satisfied? You have the provision from Calvary, why are you not satisfied? And you have the promise the Lord has given you, that you ask, you will find, and you ask, he'll be given unto you. You seek, you'll find, and you knock, it will be opened unto you. You have the promise of God. He has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Why will you not be satisfied? If you're not satisfied, you're not looking at all the promises, the provision of what God has made available to you. I will be satisfied. You will be satisfied in Jesus' name. You know, those who are promising in the kingdom of God, they're the people that have satisfaction in Christ. If you are not satisfied, you will leave the good thing the Lord has provided. You'll be running here and there, and you'll be wandering here and there, because there's no satisfaction in your life. I pray that as the Lord is blessing you, and as the Lord has given you the whole world and all his promises, there will be satisfaction in your life in Jesus' name. We're coming to Psalm 17, reading from verse 15. Psalm 17, reading from verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be, somebody shout it out. Shout it out. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The Lord satisfy everyone in Jesus' name. And look at Philippians chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding. People cannot understand you. There's a lot of turbulence, a lot of waves, a lot of storm, a lot of water going under the bridge. But you have the peace of God in your life. And people are running helter-skelter. They are there, and there's no rest. They cannot stay here. And then they move to another place. They cannot stay. They're looking for something they never get. They cannot understand, but you are always there. You are peaceful, and you are rested. And you are calm, and whatever is happening, you know that God is on the throne. Did you know that? Do you still know that? Then you'll be satisfied in God. I will be satisfied in God. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. There will be no commotion in your life. Amen. There will be no turbulence in your life. Amen. There will be no panic in your life. There will be no fear that drives people into more danger in your life in Jesus' name. When Christ abides there in the heart, the peace of God is there, the God of peace is there, you'll be satisfied and rested and calm in your life in Jesus' name. In Psalm 16, I'm reading from verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. No wonder he's satisfied. I've set the Lord always before me. And the Lord stands between me and the trouble. He stands between me and the danger. He stands between me and the enemies. He stands between me and whoever it may be. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And then in verse 11, he tells us, he says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. In whose presence are you here today? I said, in whose presence are you here today? Look at this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. You'll be satisfied. Amen. In your soul, satisfied. Amen. In your heart, satisfied. Amen. In your home, satisfied. Amen. With your wife, satisfied. Amen. With your husband, satisfied. And in the place where God has planted you, satisfied in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number 3 now. We're coming to Psalm 109. And in this psalm, we're looking at the prophecy that went on before Christ, or before he came. And those promises and predictions and prophecies were fulfilled in him. And fulfilled not only in him, but fulfilled in the people that rest on him that believe on him, that put their trust and their confidence in him. The prophecy concerning the wonderful one in his reaching word. As we look at this, I'm going to talk briefly on three things. Number one, the prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Number two, the prayer of faith by the justified. Number three, our praises and the fountain of joy. There'll be a fountain in your life. It will be a fountain of joy. I said a fountain of joy. And that fountain will never dry up. It will be going on and on until life eternal in Jesus' name. And the joy of the Lord, every moment of your life, the joy of the Lord will be your strength in Jesus' name. And then you'll be praising the Lord. If there is anything that comes like a hurdle, anything that comes like a stumbling stone, anything that comes like any danger, any problem, you will not stop your praise. And while you are praising God, all those things will be cleared out of your way. They'll be cleared out of my way. I said they'll be cleared out of my way. Because the praises of the children of God become the fountain of joy. And that joy will bring spectacular miracles, specific miracles in their lives, in our lives, in yours and mine, in Jesus' name. Look at this. Number one is the prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. The prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Look at this. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise. And then in verse 2, it says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have opened against me with a lying tongue. Do you remember those deceivers that came and they said they were bearing witnesses and all their witnesses against Christ were false? Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, they compass me about also with the words of hatred, and they fought against me without a cause. Do you remember what Jesus said? That they have hated me without cause. I showed love to them. I healed them. I delivered them. And yet they have gathered together against me, and they hate me without a cause. Look at verse 4 there. It says, for my love, they are my adversaries, and I give myself unto prayer. And then in verse 5, it tells us, they have rewarded me evil for good and hated me for my love. Verse 6 there, in verse 6 it tells us, and these people continued, set a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. So what kind of prayer is that? It's prophecy concerning Judas Iscariot that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7 it says, in verse 7, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned and let his prayer become sin. Now, verse 8 is very important. It says, let his days be few and let another take his office. That's quoted in Acts chapter 1 from verse 16 to verse 20. So we know that this is talking about Christ, the wonderful. And see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. Reading from verse 44. Luke chapter 24. We're reading from verse 44. He had risen from the dead now, and he came to his disciples, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Look at this, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All those things were read, they were written concerning him. In verse 45, it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, it says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead at the third day. So we know that this was written concerning verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 29. Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, you see that? All the betrayal, all the deception, all the buffeting, all the smiting, everything it was prophesied, all the pulling of the cheeks, all that was prophesied, and then judging him wrongly and crucifying him, away with him, all that. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And it is that fulfillment that has brought us now into the kingdom. Acts chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 18. In Acts chapter 3, verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. He has so fulfilled. The prophecy fulfilled in Jesus is a result of that. We now turn around. As a result of that, look at what he did for me. And look at the shame, and look at the suffering he suffered for me. And now we give ourselves to the Lord. That's why we read in verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Christ has fulfilled the prophecy, and Christ has now provided salvation and everything that we need by his death on the cross of Calvary. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing, of restoration, of regeneration will come, because he has completed everything on the cross in Jesus' name. It will come to everyone. And if you have not got yours this morning, you'll get it in Jesus' name. Look at verse 26. It says in verse 26, unto you first God, having raised his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's why Christ came. That's why he suffered. That's why he was sacrificed for us. And that's why he did everything that he did on the cross of Calvary. And if you never hear that, or if you hear that and never think about it, you will not be able to come into the fulfilled provision of what Christ has done for us. He did that for us. He fulfilled other prophecies that we might become justified, and that the provision of that justification, of that forgiveness, will belong to every one of us, in turning away every one of you, every one of us, from his iniquities. Let's look at number two there, in the prayer of faith by the justified. The prayer of faith by the justified. In Psalm 109, verse 1, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. He believes in God, and he knows that whatever God has promised, he will fulfill. And he says, Lord, this is the time to act, because I'm going through some deep trouble and some deep waters. Hold not thy peace. I need you now. I need you for this. I need you for that. Fulfillment will come in your life. But you must ask in faith, nothing now wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, and is tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's calling God, he's calling another source, he's looking up to God, he's looking down for another solution. Let your mind be fixed have trust in God, confidence in God, faith in God, this day and every day, God will answer your prayer. And look at verse 26. It tells us, help me, O Lord, my God. Let him be your God through salvation. Let him be your God through justification. And then you can tell the Lord, help me, O Lord, my God. Save me, O save me, according to thy mercy. According to thy, somebody shout it aloud. Tell me out loud. You see, there are people that come and they say, Lord, bless me. You know who I am? By marriage, I married this one. That one will never get anything from the Lord. He's a proud backslider, a proud sinner, and coming to present his own works before the Lord. If we are going to get anything, it's because of his mercy. You get salvation, he saved us by his mercy. You have healing, it is by his mercy. You have blessing, it is by his mercy. What have we given to God? Money, that doesn't interest God. All those other things, I give this, I give this, I give that. And because I give that, by marriage, give me this. It doesn't work that way. When you come on the basis of mercy, the miracle of mercy will come upon your life. Will come upon my life. And upon everyone in Jesus' name. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Look at verse 27 there. He said, they, that they may know that this is thy hand. That all the people that are watching, they are watching for your stumbling. They are watching for your downfall. They are watching that you will be fed up. You will give up. You'll not be able to move on. But today's strength is greater than the strength of yesterday. And today's power is greater than the power of yesteryears. They will know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. That thou, Lord, hast done it. He'll put testimony in your mouth. It is not the testimony that, you know, somebody is just making up and he just wants to talk to the public. I want to be there. Others are there. Let me go there too and say, praise the Lord. I had this, that one, brush that aside. I'm talking about a real miracle. A powerful miracle. Undeniable miracle. And everybody that hears you, even today, they will know that he has done it. I will know that he has done it. Your wife will know he has done it. Your husband will know he has done it. He will do something spectacular in your life, supernatural in your life in Jesus' name. They will know that the hand of man, the power of man, the strength of man could not have done that. Only God has done that. It will be done in your life. Make it to be of faith. As you believe, everything will come to place. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, remember, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus were to come to you today, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, he will look at you and he will say the same thing he said at that time. No matter what your problem might be, there's cancer there, there's paralysis there, there's stroke there, or there is incurable disease there. As Jesus comes to you today, he's going to say exactly what he said at that time. Jesus Christ, the same, tell me. Yesterday, today, and forever. He will say the same thing. And he said, I am with you always. I will never leave you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He will be your helper. The Lord is my healer. He'll be your healer. The Lord is my savior. He'll be your savior. The Lord is my deliverer. He'll be your deliverer. And he will give you dominion even today in Jesus' name. What's the Lord telling you now? Picture him by your side. And he's whispering something in your ears. And Jesus said unto him, and Jesus said unto her, if thou canst believe, tell me. That's how you say something you are sure of. If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. Let me read it now the way you should read it. Since I can believe. Since I can believe, all things are possible to me. Because I believe. Since I have believed. And since I have trusted him, I know, I'm sure, all things are possible unto me because I believe. That is what will happen. All things, all blessings, all promises fulfilled, and all power of the Lord in your life today, in Jesus' name. That's the prayer of faith by the justified. Number three, the praises and the fountain of joy. The praises and the fountain of joy. He will put his praise in your mouth. He will put joy in your heart. He put laughter in your mouth. And then the things you thought were undoable before, the things you thought were impossible before, lo and behold, on this glorious Sunday, the day of the sun, I'm asking that God will surprise you with a miracle. And then the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And if you have been drooping and, you know, your shoulders are down, your head is down, and your feet are heavy, and then your waist, I don't know whether it's cracking, and then you take 1 minute and then you stop, and then you rise up again another 2 minutes and then you stop, and you say, Pastor, I don't know what is happening, everything will vanish away. The joy, the happiness, the praises of the Lord in your mouth will be the joy that will bring all strength, all power into your life in Jesus' name. And you know, the people of the world, they thought they'd done the worst. And they took Paul and they took Silas and they beat them like you're beating a runaway slave. They were bleeding in their backs, and then he put stocks in their feet and then push them gently in the prison. They pushed them there and they put them in the dungeon. You know, at that time, at such a time, the so-called Christians of today, they'll be complaining, they'll be murmuring, they'll be crying, they'll say, why did I become a Christian? What am I going to do now? Look at me, pastor is not here, and look at me, all the believers are not visiting me, and they abandoned me. Then I did what they told me to do. They say, go and preach, and then go and, you know, lay hands on the sick and do this and do that, and we cast out that devil out of that damn cell. Look at where we landed now, and where are the believers? Nobody, you know. But Paul and Silas, they didn't act like that. Their joy was still there. My joy is still there. My happiness is still there. No matter what is happening, if you have that fountain of joy in your life and the praises of God come out of your mouth, everything will turn around. A miracle will happen. You know, some people, they think only miracle happens in the evening. Does miracle happen in the day? Yes. I said, does miracle happen in the day? Yes. Of course. Can miracle happen at this hour? Yes. If you will rejoice and you will not cry, if you will lift up your voice of praise unto the Lord and forget whatever might have happened before you came here, miracle. Yes. Power demonstration. Yes. In your life, in Jesus' name. And so Paul and Silas were inside there in the dungeon. No light, no lantern, no candle. There was no electricity. Everything was dark. And then, Silas, are you there? Yes, Apostle Paul. And then, Apostle Paul, are you there too? Yes, I am here. Are you sorrowful? Never. Are you unhappy? Never. Are you troubled? Never. Are you regretting? Never. Then let us see. And then they began to pray and they began to sing, and the prison doors were opened. And the fountain, the foundation of their prison, everything was blown, exploded. And all the prisoners that were there, even the people that were sleeping, not praying, the people that were just there saying, I am here, I don't know when I will get out. All the chains that bound them, everything totally loose. And they heard, and the Philippian jailer woke up, and then he wanted to kill himself. He thought they had run away. He said, no, how can we run away? We are not runaway people. We are not panicking people. And we are not fearful people. Then he said, what shall I do to be saved? And they led him to the Lord. And the people that put them in the prison at the end of the chapter, they said, go tell those men they should go out. And then Paul said, me? You brought me into the prison through the front door, and I'm to go out through the back door. Let them come themselves and set me free here. That's a believer. I said that's a believer. And you're a believer today. I said you're a believer today. And every chain that bound you, as you praise the Lord and the fountain of joy swells up in your heart, prison doors are opening right now. Sicknesses are going right now. Infirmities are going right now. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. Anybody ready to praise the Lord there? Where are you? Anybody ready to praise God there? You are not crying, you are not mourning, you are not criticizing, and you are not regretting. You are saying, Lord, I praise you. You are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my health. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. And you are my sustainer. And the joy of the Lord today is my strength. That joy of the Lord will be your strength in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I glorify you. If you are not saved, give your life to the Lord and be saved. And say, Lord, all my heart, without any reservation, I give unto you. I will not continue in my sin. I will not continue in my evil. Lord, I come to you. And now with purpose of heart, as I come, I'll not go back again. As I come, I'll not backslide anymore. There is nothing in the world I'm looking for now. I want to serve the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with everything that is within me. Give your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. And the power of God will move every mountain out of your life, even this afternoon or this morning, in Jesus' name. Tell him. It's right there. Don't cry for the devil. Don't be afraid. Don't panic for the devil or for any enemy, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Tell him. Concentrate on him. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He paid the whole price on the cross of Calvary. If you have been foolish in the past, and that foolishness has earned you calamity, disease, poverty, sorrow, disaster, turn around and say, Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong steps I took in my life. But now I give myself unreservedly, wholeheartedly unto you. He gives forgiveness. And he gives healing. He saves. And he sanctifies. Christ is the fulfillment of the promise the Father has given to us. Believe him, and all things are yours. Believe him, and salvation is yours. Believe him, a new life, a new heart, a new strength, a new power is yours. His promises cannot fail. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, whosoever. And it will be a definite salvation. People will see it in your life and know that you are different. The past life is gone. The sinful life is gone. A new life has come. Tell him. He'll make you a new creature. You have a new life. And your life will become continual praise unto the Lord. Be definite now. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. Purposeful. Persevering. Moving on without turning back. Not allowing Satan to stop your journey in the wilderness halfway. Purposefulness in your heart. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. Fixed to keep on walking in the way of God. Fixed to keep on living by conviction. Fixed to keep on trusting in the Lord. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. What are you giving to the Lord today? Your heart, your strength, things precious to you, to demonstrate your purpose of heart, serving God without looking back. Whatever is happening, don't let circumstances, situations take joy away from you. Don't allow the world to make you as miserable as they are. There's no joy outside there. And they want to impact your life with their misery. So there will be no joy in your life. Don't allow that to take place. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, be your stay. And let it draw the spectacular into your life every time. The Lord has answered your prayer in Jesus' name. It is now. For me, For me, it is done. My prayers are all answered. No more tears for me. No more sorrow for me. No more regrets for me. I am happy in the Lord. That happiness and joy will never leave your life. At this very time, the spectacular, the supernatural will take place in your life. Everything you have opened your mouth to ask the Lord has answered. They shall see it, and they will confirm it is done by the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this glorious morning. We thank you because you're always alive. You're still alive. You're with us. You have never left us. And we thank you because Christ has borne all our sin, all our sorrow, all our shame, all our suffering. We thank you because there's fulfillment right now in every life in Jesus' name. I pray that the peace of God will come to every heart in Jesus' name. Take the fear of the future, the fear of the present, the fear of the past, the fear of man, the fear of woman, the fear of country, the fear of pandemic, the fear of plague, the fear of everything out of every life in Jesus' name. The fear of Satan, the fear of evil spirits, and the fear of demons, and the fear of disease, and the fear of calamity, Lord, take it away in Jesus' name. And let the peace of God reign in every heart right now. Sickness is taken away from you. And all the incurable things taken away in Jesus' name. The power of sin is broken in your life. And Lord, I pray, give everyone the freedom of a real child of God. In the day, freedom. In the night, freedom. When alone, freedom. When with people we don't know their intention, freedom. And I pray that the power of God will never stop in your life in Jesus' name. You will walk by faith. You will talk by faith. You will rise by faith. You will move on by faith. No Red Sea will stop you. No River Jordan will stop you. And no walls of Jericho will stop you. Arise, he has set you free. And from now on, happiness in your life, joy in your life, praises in your mouth, and daily experience of miracle, of mercy in every life in Jesus' name. You are blessed. God has said yes to your life. And nobody will say no. Irreversible blessing upon every life, even from this moment in Jesus' name. As you go, go and prosper. As you go, go and conquer. As you go, go and shine the light of the gospel. You are unstoppable. And so don't stop, keep on moving, and the joy of the Lord will increase in your life, and great will be the hand of God in your life all through your days in Jesus' name. It is done in Jesus' name. I am blessed. Can I hear you? No Balaam or adversity in your life.